Well, hello everyone. My name is Matt, and it's really good to see you guys. If you were here last week, you know that we started a brand new series called Searching for Wisdom. And I mentioned this last week, but I'm borrowing a lot from this series from a book by Andy Stanley called Ask It. And when this shows up here, I'll put a slide up. But I highly recommend that book. And I just want to give you a heads up, if you get the book and you read it, you're going to have deja vu a little bit, and you're going to be like, I kind of feel like I've heard this before. And you have right here. So just a heads up about that. Here's the book. Overall, this series is about making wise decisions. And we said last week that as far as what we do have control over, the decisions that you and I make in the areas of our time, our finances, our relationships, our health, those decisions shape our life and where we end up more than anything else that we actually have some influence over. And so today we're going to get to the heart of this series. We're going to explore a brief passage of Scripture and kind of dig into that. And from that, we're going to look at a question that we're going to explore the rest of our time. And this one question, I hope for you becomes like a centerpiece. I hope this one question becomes an anchor for you going forward with whatever decision you have to make, because this is a question that brings all kinds of clarity to complex, difficult decisions and situations. This is a question that had you and I learned this maybe earlier, it would have saved us grief and tears and heartache and pain and all kinds of things. So it's a really, really big question. If you have a Bible, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and we touched on this very briefly last week, but we're going to get back to it today. So feel free to turn there or pull it up on your phone and just pretend to be reading the Bible while you're doing other things, whatever. You know, all of us, we can probably, without a lot of effort, think back over our lives and think about, you know, dumb stuff that we've done. We can think about different areas where we've just made plain bad decisions. And for some of us, it's a relationship. For some of us, it's a season of regret. It's a financial mess. It's a business thing that we got into. For some of us, it's a weekend or a spring break that we would like to forget, or in some cases, remember. We go back. If we could go back to these moments and ask this one question, I'm fairly confident that most of us could have avoided some of our biggest regrets and the consequences and these things that we never intended and we didn't see coming, if we just would have asked this question and leaned into it. Because I don't know about you, but I've never met anybody who's planned on messing up their life. Have you? Like, there's never in anybody's plans. No one does that. Yet, from time to time, we all end up in situations where we're like, how did I get here? And why is this happening to me? Nobody plans to screw up their life. The problem is that very few people plan not to. And so this question that we're going to get to in just a minute is a question to help us do that, to plan not to, so that we can hopefully stay out of some of these situations. This is a question that sheds light on all kinds of issues, maybe that the Bible doesn't specifically address. You know those gray areas, those things where you kind of wonder, where's the line, you know, morally, relationally, ethically? This question goes right to that. This is a question that helps us see through the fog when we're trying to make decisions and we can't see very clearly and we're not thinking very well because all this emotion is crowding in and it's kind of confusing us. But I do have to warn you, this is not an easy question to ask. It's actually really easy to ask as far as the words. It's just that it's a difficult question to really face, and it can be a little bit painful because this is a question that reveals so much of our heart and our motives and things that would be really easy for us just to ignore and go right on our way without actually facing. And so here we go, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. The New Testament writer, one of them, Paul, he wrote this, and he says, "Be very careful then how you live." Or some of your versions maybe say walk, it's the same thing. Be careful how you live, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let's kind of walk through this. He says, be careful then how you live, how you walk. If you think about somebody walking down a path, the idea of being careful here, this is a visual term here, isn't it? Like, look around. Pay attention. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Don't be careless. Be careful. And so in this verse, Paul equates unwise with careless, and he kind of pairs wise with careful. And then he says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And we got into this last week, this idea of making the most of our opportunities. In the original Greek, it's make the most of your time, like redeem the time, literally, because your time is limited. We have a limited amount of time. And so Paul says, be wise. Make sure you're using your time as well as you can, because it's your most precious asset. And then he says, because the days are evil. What does that mean? Paul probably has something specific, you know, in mind, something going on in the first century. He's writing to a church, to believers, and maybe they had unique pressures and probably not all that unique temptations, but they had whatever it was that was threatening to take them off track from their faith, to kind of pull them backwards in their relationship with God and get them headed down a wrong path. And Paul's trying to warn them ahead of time, and I think that this actually has a lot to apply. This applies to all of us as well. Because we live in a time, and we all know this, where if we were just to pick up our feet and go with like the current and the flow of culture around us, we'd probably end up in some places we don't want to end up in. Is that right? If you just kind of went with the flow of culture in your relationships, chances are you'd have some regrets, right? If you just went with what culture's saying to do financially and just lifted your feet a little and drifted along, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to end up with some consequences maybe you weren't expecting. And so Paul says, you can't be careless. Watch out. Keep an eye out. Be wise. And then he says something specifically to Christians. And so if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're not sure where you are with that, you get a free pass on this next part. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we really have to lean into this. In verse 17, he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, this is a bit of a dig for those of us who like to find loopholes. Any loophole people, right? We all do this. I know it says, but, and I know my parents are always saying, but, and I know it's probably not right, but if I look at it from this angle, and I can kind of see how coming at it from this way, there's an exception, and we all do this. We all look for loopholes. And Paul knows this, and he says, don't be foolish. In other words, don't be a fool, but understand what the Lord's will is. And this is important because that word but right there, in the original Greek, there's actually two words for but, B-U-T, okay? And one of them, the word that's used here, we actually don't have that kind of word in English. It means, it's signaling a really, really big but, okay? He's trying to get us to see, you know, huge contrast, but, you know, pay attention, big shift happening right now, understand what the Lord's will is. Now, when he says understand what the Lord's will is, that's not what I would expect him to say. I would expect him to say something like, well, find out what the Lord's will is, or maybe discover, or, you know, figure out what the Lord's will is. He says, instead, I want you to understand what the Lord's will is. The word understand, it means to face up, to own up to tell yourself the truth. He's saying, look, you know what you ought to do. You know right and wrong. You know where our culture sort of is pushing us and where the drift will eventually, the current will eventually take you. You already know all this stuff. And so he says, basically, quit playing around, quit playing games, quit talking yourself into things morally, ethically, financially, relationally that you should be talking yourself out of, and quit talking yourself out of things you should be talking yourself into. He says, come on, understand, face up, own up to what you know is God's will for you. Now, I think we're ready to settle in on the key point, which leads to our question, and we've already read it toward the beginning of the passage. Paul says, be careful then how you live or walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And here's the big question. Are you ready? What is the wise thing for me to do? Okay, can we just say this out loud? Would you repeat this? Let's all together with me. Ready? Here we go. What is the wise thing for me to do? Now, some of you are already going, that's it? That's like the big question? That's the question that answers and clarifies pretty much every other question I have about, you know, what decision to make, and should I take the opportunity, and left or right, and should I date him or her, and should I make that purchase that's a bit of a stretch, and, you know, whatever it is. How does the question, what's the wise thing for me to do, how does that bring any clarity? And for some of us, if we're really honest, we don't like that question, do we? I don't like that question. That sounds like something my mom or dad would say. You know, okay, what's the wise thing for me to do? And that's right up there with eat all your vegetables and nothing good ever happens past midnight and, you know, don't have any fun. Okay, I never said you'd like this question, first of all. I'm just saying that this question, if we'll take it seriously, has the potential to save all of us from regret, pain, tears, and consequences we never intended from our decisions. And here's where this question starts to shine light on areas that maybe we don't want any light shined. What's the wise thing for, and then this part is really important, ready? Me to do. That's not the same thing as what about everybody else? It's not the same thing as asking, well, you know, what did I do last time or what can I get away with? This is a question for you, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your friends, not your roommates. Now, here's what's interesting about this. We can all think of people right now, friends, relatives, people we work with, people who, if they had just stopped and asked this question in the moment, what's the wise thing for me to do, it would have saved them all kinds of grief, all kinds of negative consequences. It would have really helped them. We've watched people go into relationships that are bad, and you can see it, and everyone else around the person can see it from 100 miles away, and everyone's saying, run, you know, avoid that person, and they head straight into it, and guess what happens? Disaster, like you saw coming the entire time. We know people, family members, who've made really bad financial decisions, and we've seen people make poor health or lifestyle choices and then suffer the consequences. On the outside, we can see this plain as day. It's very, very easy to see. The problem is when it comes to asking ourselves this question. Because as smart as you are, and you're all really, really smart, guess who the person is? Guess who's the easiest person for you to deceive? Who is it? You, right? Yourself, myself. I mean, very few of us look at our worst decisions and go, I have no idea how I got here. Yeah, I mean, we say that rhetorically, but yes, we kind of do, don't we? We made a series of unwise decisions. And maybe it wasn't a bad thing, and maybe it wasn't, you know, wrong, and maybe it wasn't illegal, and maybe I could get away with it, but one bad decision or unwise decision followed by another, followed by another, and then what felt like all of a sudden, bam, we're in a huge mess. And how did we get here, and how did that happen? It happened because we're all so good at deceiving ourselves. What this means is that you don't even have to be a good salesperson to sell yourself on anything. You and I, we can sell ourselves on the worst ideas, can't we? I can sell myself on a bad idea with one arm tied behind my back, right? I can make a really bad financial decision. I can spin that so it seems like an investment opportunity, once in a lifetime. I can make a bad relationship decision kind of seem like a ministry opportunity. We all do this. We go from trying to make right decisions to finding a way to making the decision, whatever it is, right, and we don't even notice that we've made this shift. We come up with reasons, ways to make it fit. We deceive ourselves, and in the end, we end up hurting often other people, yes, but without fail, we end up hurting ourselves. Every addiction begins with similar self-deception. I can handle this. I'm an adult. I can quit whenever I want. I'm in control of this. See, we have these things that our heart wants. And our brain is kind of saying that's probably not a good idea. But our heart tells our lizard brain, go get me some reasons and come back. And that's what happens. And then we have our reasons and we go forward. I saw this Bill Murray tweet the other day. He said, follow your brain. Your heart is stupid. The little Bill Murray wisdom for you. But don't you read that and deep down kind of go, there's some of that. That's kind of me. Because my heart and my impulses and my whims and desires and my appetites have gotten me in the past into serious trouble. Places where I've actually had to dig out financially, relationally, spiritually. See, probably some of your greatest regrets started with choices that you convinced yourself were good ideas. In fact, you were actually robbing yourself. And so Paul says, can we just be 100% honest? Can we just face up to what we already know deep down to be the truth, what we know is right? What's the wise thing for me to do? See, that's a better question, isn't it? I want to get a little more specific, though, because that is still general enough that, like, we can find loopholes and workarounds. And so it's easy for me to still justify whatever decision I've already made as being right. And so here's the first step toward making this question a little more meaningful. In light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing for me to do? Okay, let's say this one together out loud. Here we go. In light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing for me to do? See, your past is your past, not my past. And my past is mine, not yours. And so what may be okay for you may not be okay for me because of my past experiences. What happened last time you went? Oh, yeah. What happened last time he called and you called him back? What happened last time you went with them, or last time you spent the night, or last time you snuck out? What happened last time when you had a little bit of tension and you kind of ignored it? You know, maybe this isn't the smartest thing, but you did it anyway. What happened? See, in light of your specific past, do you know why history keeps repeating itself for you financially, relationally? It's because we don't ask this question. We think somehow that we can do the same thing we did before and somehow get different results. It's kind of part of being human. We think that we can manage the outcomes. I got it. I'll be okay, honey. I know. Mom and Dad, I know. But this time, and I've learned my lesson, and I'll be really careful this time. And Paul says, don't be foolish. In our terms, he'd say, don't be stupid. See, this is a better question than what's just the right thing to do, or what can I get away with, or what's the legal thing that I, you know, where's the line? In light of your past experience, what's the wise thing, not for everybody, what's the wise thing for you? I hate that. I hate that. And you know why you probably hate that too? Is because suddenly what was foggy, what was a little bit fuzzy and kind of, I think I can make this work, suddenly the fog lifts, like the curtain parts, and we know exactly what it is that we're supposed to do. We just don't want to admit that we know. We don't want to do it. In light of your past experience, what's the wise thing for you to do, not everyone else? If you want history to stop repeating itself for you, financially, relationally, whatever, then you have to act. You have to ask and then act on this question. I know people who can and do, for example, drink alcohol in moderation, and they don't have a problem. And I know other people who, because of their specific past, and just drinking for them wreaked all kinds of havoc in every area of their life. Because of their past, they've promised themselves, and they've promised the people they love, they won't touch it again. See, you don't necessarily come to that conclusion if you're just saying, you know, what can I maybe manage, and what can I get away with, and where's the line, is it legal, and you may not come to that conclusion, but that is a much wiser conclusion, a much better question. I have friends who've made changes in their life. They've kind of begun a relationship with God, and they're growing in their faith, and because of that, they've actually had to kind of pull back a little bit from the old group of friends, and they learn this the hard way because they start hanging out with that group and get pulled in the opposite direction, and they just realize that in light of my past, that maybe for now, not necessarily forever, I've got to do something a little bit different. That's not working for me. I have friends who, because they've gotten into trouble with credit cards and debt in the past, have come to a place essentially asking this question, because of where I've been, that they've cut up their cards and it's cash only. Nothing wrong with credit cards. You can use them, of course, responsibly. But people asking this question, realizing in light of my past, I think it'd be wise to just avoid the temptation altogether. Now, the second part of this is kind of similar. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing for me to do? All right, let's read this one aloud with some passion. Are you ready? In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing for me to do? in light of the fact that, you just got married, what's the wise thing for you to do? Right? And I know you used to, and your schedule was different, and you know, every year there was this trip, and you took 2 weeks, and that's just kind of what you did and what you've done for years. In light of where you are now, though, I'm not talking bad, not talking like all those other things were mistakes, but just where you are now, what's the wise thing for you to do? And sometimes that changes, doesn't it? Depending on what season of life that we're in. This question, we may answer it differently depending on our season. Or maybe for you, you just got out of a bad relationship a couple months ago, and you also just met someone new. In light of your current circumstances and where you are in the healing process and your current vulnerability and where you are emotionally, what's the wise thing for you to do? Not for forever, not for everybody else, but for you. And I'm not even telling you what to do. I'm just saying, would you ask this question yourself, of yourself? Or maybe it's for you, it's a brand new semester at school. And in light of how things ended last semester, not so hot, it's time to kick it up a notch and to get this thing going in the right direction. So what's the wise thing for you to do? And your friends come along and say, oh, hey, we're skipping school the next, like, classes the next 2 days. We're going on a trip. Come with us. It'll be fun. You don't want to miss it. Everybody's going to be there. Is that wrong? Not really. All right? You've done it before. You'll probably do it again. But in light of where you are right now, I'm just asking you to ask yourself, what is the wise thing for you to do? You've just started a new job. You've just moved. Your savings just got wiped out. You just had your first baby, or your second, or your third, your fourth. In light of where you are right now, again, this isn't probably a right or wrong thing. Or it's not what is everybody else doing. It's what about you? Whether it's financial, trying to get out of debt, relationally, your family situation, whatever's going on. Doesn't that question bring some clarity? And it's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's so easy for us to avoid this and go, I can manage. I think I'll be all right. It's going to be okay. I've done this every year. We find ways to justify whatever we want. And if all we're asking is this morally okay? Can I talk my way out of this if somebody asks me to explain myself? If that's the only questions we're asking, and that in no way guarantees that we'll make wise decisions or that we'll avoid regret. And so this much better question, bigger question, irritating as it might be, this is much more helpful. And then the third part of this, I think, is the most powerful. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Okay, you ready to read this one? Here we go. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? See, we're all old enough here to think of times in our past when we've essentially thrown away hopes and dreams. But what a tragedy it is if you think about trading something in your future for something now that you're not even going to want in your future. What a terrible decision to exchange a future relationship for something that is not even going to matter a year from now, 5 years from now. Here's the deal, too. Some of you run around with people who don't really have any future hopes and dreams. And they live for the present. They live for right now. The furthest ahead they think is like 2 weeks when they get paid again. So the worst thing that you can do now is to allow people around you to rob you of your future because they've got you so focused, so locked in to now. And they're going, hey, nothing's wrong, and people are going to be there, and it's not illegal, and even if you get caught, I mean, you can get out of the consequences, it's not a big deal. Why in the world would you trade your future for someone or something that's not going to be with you in the future, and it's not really going to matter to you in the future? That's a bad trade. So in light of your future hopes and dreams, in light of where you want to be someday, what's the wise thing for you? Not everybody else, because they don't share your hopes and dreams. What's the wise thing for you? Do you want to end up together with her or him? Your decisions in the present have an impact on that. Do you want to end up better financially than your parents or the people you ran around with? You know, that depends and is determined by what you do largely today. See, this is a question that we never grow beyond a point. We never get to a point we don't have to ask this anymore. Right? No matter what age, no matter what stage of life you're in, this is a question we keep asking. My wife Liz and I, we've been, over the years we've been married, really committed to, A, getting out of debt and then B, trying to stay out of debt, which is not easy, and it's taken some work, it's taken some years, but we've done it. But what's interesting is this, we still have to ask. This issue still comes up. 2 weeks ago, I told Liz, I had this kind of financial idea, and it was brilliant, and I won't go into the details, but if I could talk long enough, you'd all be convinced. And it kind of involved going into a little bit of debt to do this deal, and I knew Liz wasn't going to like it, and so I prepared my PowerPoint and, you know, my notes, and I sat her down, and I said, listen, I know the first thing you're going to say is no, but don't say that, just hear me out. And I gave her the whole 15-minute rundown. It was very persuasive, very good, I thought. And she listened. She was very nice. She listened very politely, and I just got to talk about my brilliant idea. And then she said, when I was done, you know, are you finished? Yes. She said, I can see why that might be a temptation, but I don't think it's a good idea. And I went, dang it. Because you know why? In my heart, I knew. I mean, I said it up front before I even shared the idea. This is probably not wise, but, and maybe this is the exception. This is kind of a one-time thing, and we won't do this again, but, and on and on and on. And I got to the place after I was done saying it where I go, yeah, it's probably not the wise thing for us to do financially given where we want to end up and our future hopes and dreams and our kids. And anyway, think about it this way. Don't you wish you'd been asking this question like your whole life? And not just asking it, but like acting on this? The cool thing about this is Christian or not, religious or not, we'd probably all be better off relationally, financially, maybe even emotionally if we'd been asking this question and then acting on it. All right, let's put this all together. Are you ready? In light of my past experiences, current circumstances, and future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Let's say this together with some conviction. Here we go. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? That's a good question. That's a game changer, isn't it? And some of us sitting here, we're like, man, I wish so-and-so was here for this. And we're thinking of that person who came to mind, and I just want to say, don't worry about them right now. Here's what we all know. Nobody plans to screw up their lives. But very few people plan not to. Nobody gets married the first time looking for a second marriage. Nobody goes into financial professional life looking for a bankruptcy. Nobody goes into a healthy relationship hoping to somehow make it unhealthy. And I understand that things happen, and I say that without any judgment. There are things that happen that are beyond our control. But I'm talking about the things that we do have control over. I'm talking about the mistakes that we want to avoid in the future. This is a question that we can ask with every invitation, with every opportunity, with every decision. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? And here's the fascinating thing about this question, and terrifying. If you ask this question honestly, chances are you'll know, because it brings painful clarity. If you ask this question over and over and over, if this just becomes your default position, your default question, whenever you're presented with a new opportunity, a new invitation, a new decision, you'll have less tears, you will have fewer regrets. In your relationships, in your financial world, this is a better question. And it really shouldn't be surprising to us that, like, the God who loves us, you know, throughout the Old and New Testaments, he's saying that we are called to listen to the voice of wisdom in our lives. To ask the better question, not what can I get by with, not what can I make a compelling case for, not what can I make fit. What's the wise thing for me to do? All right, let me give you some homework. Are you ready? This is very simple. I just want you to begin asking this question. That's it. You don't have to change anything. I actually don't want you to do anything different. And so you can all just relax. Okay, I'm not asking you to actually make wise decisions, okay? No, really, here's where we're starting. I just want you to ask the question so that you would know what you would do were you to be wise. That's it. And I'm not even being facetious. So Don't do anything different. I just want you to, as a beginning point, start a new habit with every invitation, every opportunity, every decision to ask, what's the wise thing for me to do? Just ask that question. Don't you owe it to yourself to know the answer to this question? Again, regardless of whether or not you do anything different, don't you owe it to yourself to know the answer? And here's the kind of crazy thing that might happen. If you begin asking this question, you might learn something about yourself that you didn't know before, that you should probably know. Teenagers, if you start asking this question and what comes back, it sounds eerily familiar. You know, what's the wise thing for me to do in this situation? If that sounds eerily familiar to what mom and dad have been trying to tell you, you've just learned something, okay? And don't panic. I've got your back. I'm not telling you you have to actually do what they're telling you to do. I'm just saying I want you to go, what have I just learned here? Because I asked, what's the wise thing for me to do in this situation? It kind of sounds like what they're telling me. You're not about to go tell them that, right? But you've just learned something about yourself. If you think about this question in the context of where you work, as an employee, employer, as an owner, you start asking this question, and if the answer that comes back to you sounds kind of familiar, kind of like what the people on your team have been telling you, you've actually learned something very valuable that you didn't know before about yourself. Husbands, wives, if you ask this question and the answer sounds exactly like what your wife or husband has been telling you for some time now, it's like, come on. You've actually learned something. I'm not asking you to do the wise thing, but if there's something in you that resists it, that you ask this question and you resist it, there's something that you didn't know that you should know about yourself. If the answers that come back sound a lot like what the people in your life who love you have been telling you, if you ask this question honestly and the answer you kind of sense sounds exactly like what people who know you the best have been telling you, and your response the whole time to them has been, I don't care what the wise thing, I'm not interested, I'm not listening to you, this is what I've decided, this is what I'm doing. Here in that moment, here's what you've learned about you. You actually don't have your own best interest at heart. You don't have your own best interest at heart. And if you don't have your own best interest at heart, who in the world is going to have your own best interest in mind? And here's something else we figure out. And maybe if there is a God, and if God actually inspired these words in Scripture about being wise, it's possible that God has your best interest in mind and that you don't. And if you don't have your own best interest in mind, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be in a place you don't want to be in. You'll find yourself in a place you didn't plan to be. And you're going to make dumb decisions, not because we planned on making dumb decisions, but because we never planned not to. And you don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want that for you. You don't want the people who are depending on you to watch you do that. And so this is how you plan not to. And so regardless of what you think about God or the Bible or church, don't you owe it to yourself to start asking this question? In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of wisdom that you want to give us. Lord, for many of us, we can think of exactly the area where we've been resisting this. I pray that you give each person here, you give all of us the courage to be honest, to name that thing that we've been kind of selling ourselves on, deceiving ourselves, trying to justify, and frankly, it's not wise. It's not going to help, and it's not going to lead us anywhere good. Lord, would you give us the courage and the maturity, the strength to ask this question in light of our past, our present, our future, in this situation, in this opportunity, in this decision, what's the wise thing for us to do? Lord, thank you again for the gift of wisdom, that you want to direct our paths, you want to guide our steps. Help us to be smart enough to receive that from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.